Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Anderson Kimball of the News Tribune. And before Anderson and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Anderson's conversation with Jefferson City head coach Damon Wells.
Again, it's just a process that we hope to not let any particular night try to define what the entire season means to us. And we're happy to take a positive step forward in the journey that is this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess kind of looking forward then, with kind of Helias this week, how kind of big of a game is that for you guys?
You know, we take great pride. I heard Ray Allen, the NBA player, mm-hmm. and I'm not a big NBA guy, so don't misunderstand. Ray Allen, I heard him say that part of the key to success is to view every opponent as a nameless, faceless object. And that's one thing that we try to do, because if you focus a bunch of attention on anything other than us and execution, I feel like it's a waste of time and it's a waste of energy and it's just a distraction.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Anderson, you know, we kind of talked about it last week on the podcast, but, you know, the Jays offense had been trending in a very good direction, and it kept doing that last week to the tune of 66 points. So, you know, 66-31, and, you know, that's not often that you see Jays and Hickman games with scores quite that lopsided or quite that much offense, but just a fantastic showing for the Jays offense last week.
Yeah, I mean, their offense continues to get better, even if you think they might, you would think they might have plateaued with 40-point games the last 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, they just continue to get better and continue to score more points, and, you know, I mean, they didn't even punt at all last week. You know,
right.
Their offense was dominant, pretty much do whatever it wanted to do.
You know, and a lot of times you look at games like that and you go, okay, you know, 66 points, you know, you're thinking quick strike offense or, you know, big plays or something, or, you know, you must be throwing for a lot of yards. That was not the fact, was it? It was doing most of the damage on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, they were able to get some explosive plays, but they were able, kind of as the focus would have been going into the week, to be able to get longer sustained drives too.
Sure.
I mean, they got over 20 first downs.
Right.
I mean, when you're able to do that, you know, that's a really good sign. And
yeah.
That's kind of the best thing the offense could have hoped for with having different kind of drives, because they're not going to be able to just run for 60-yard touchdowns in Salias this week. They're going to need to sustain drives and be able to stay ahead of schedule, which they were able to do for the most part in the ground.
Okay.
And so that was kind of the most, I think, encouraging thing was they were able to mix in longer drives, longer kind of like 10, 12 play scoring drives instead of just having Bethune or Pendleton break off for 40 or 50 yard touchdown runs to score.
Right. But let's start with those two, because, I mean, they really kind of have become just a two-headed monster from a standpoint of, we kind of knew, you know, coming into the year that Bethune was kind of a proven commodity. We kind of knew what we had in him, and he has absolutely lived up to his billing this year. But Pendleton's really come on in the last couple weeks, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's a really kind of strong and tough runner. I mean, he's someone who really just kind of runs through tackles and is able to take contact very well. And, I mean, the biggest thing with them is the Jays' offensive line has just really improved against kind of that lower competition after playing, when you're playing big schools from, I mean, St. Louis or, I mean, playing Rockbridge, and then, I guess, Hannibal, you know, we can
sure.
kind of talk about how talented they are, but
right.
they've been able to really kind of flip the switch and against other kind of smaller teams, you know, they've been able to really dominate, and they've given them a lot of big holes. I mean, on a lot of Bethune's touchdown runs, he's been untouched, where he's just hit a hole and then just outrun everybody else to the end zone. And with Pendleton, I mean, he's been able to kind of take advantage of that space and kind of get one-on-one matchups with linebackers and safeties and be able to kind of just win with his physicality as well as a little bit of speed.
How much should we be concerned about the 31 points they allowed to Hickman? Some of that can be a byproduct of a high-scoring game, where sometimes you're just having tons of possessions in a game like that, and you're giving people the ball back. So sometimes you just have scores where it's like, and especially when it's kind of a one-sided game, you know, you can give up scores that maybe are not so important or maybe not as maybe earth-shattering as they might seem. But 31 is still a fairly big number, so should we be concerned about that at all, or was that not something that, as the game played out, you found yourself thinking that maybe they shouldn't be giving up that much?
Yeah, I mean, You know, in the second half, the defense locked down when it needed to, and the one Hickman only had 8 points in the second half, and that was on a touchdown run late in the game when the game was already over.
Okay.
But, I mean, and it was able to get turnovers. I mean, Pendleton got a big interception in the second half to kind of shut the door in the game, and they were able to get turnovers, but they've still been pretty susceptible to the big play. I mean, Hickman on one of their first plays from scrimmage had an 80-yard screen pass touchdown.
Okay.
And so, I mean, those kind of big plays in the running and passing game kind of show a little bit. Since it's just a young defensive unit, there's some kind of plays that they kind of lack consistency where they kind of switch off and miss a gap, or they just miss a couple tackles. And, I mean, with younger players, I mean, that's just going to happen, and so they kind of need to learn how to... I mean, it's Capital City, they gave up those big plays and be able to come back and stop them later in drives.
Sure.
And so they kind of need to be able to just have some more consistency, as well as just being able to kind of play a little bit of bend, don't break sometimes. Just because, I mean...
I was going to say, was there anything that you noticed in the second half that appeared different to you in terms of being able to kind of keep that production limited until late?
Yeah, I mean, the run defense was just more consistent. They were able to get short stops on first and second down to kind of drive Hickman back. I mean, they didn't really miss a lot of tackles in the second half,
okay,
which I think was the most important thing in the run defense. And then kind of in the pass defense, they were able to just kind of lock down and not... On screen passes, they were, again, just kind of able to keep the game in front of them, which they weren't able to do as much in the second half. And they just, as a secondary, they just covered better,
sure,
a lot better, and that was really the big difference. As well as Hickman had a couple timely drops, but I mean, okay, that happens with pretty much everything.
Sure,
team.
Sure. Puts the Jays at 3-3 overall now, 3-1 in the C-MAC, and to say that this is a big week is a huge understatement from the standpoint of you play Friday, 7 o'clock at Helias. This is kind of for the conference lead at this point because Helias is 5-1 and 4-0 in the C-MAC. So, you know, we got kind of the big festivities out of the way last year in terms of, you know, the first ever meeting between the schools and Helias won that 128-0. So I think there's not as much maybe, first-time import to it from this standpoint. But the game's still important, and it's especially important from the standpoint of just the conference race this year. So probably the biggest game, you know, the Jays have had in recent memory from the standpoint of, yes, the early season games were important, but I think this one's obviously the one that everybody's had circled on the schedule this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess just how do you feel about... Probably couldn't be coming at a better time for the way that they've been peaking the last couple weeks. So, how nice is this for the Jays to be getting this game at this point in their season?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the perfect time for them. You know, after they kind of struggled in their first three games, you know, they kind of just needed some time to kind of rebuild and become a little more comfortable with kind of the schemes they're running. And you've seen some improvement, especially defensively, in terms of just kind of consistency.
Sure.
And now they're kind of to a level where they're, I think, a little more comfortable with what they want to do offensively and defensively, which kind of makes them a little more prepared for going against a good team like Elias, who's on par with the teams that they played at the beginning of the season and lost to.
Yeah. You know, they've both kind of, you know, had some early season hiccups. They're both really kind of been steadily improving as the weeks have gone on. So I think this is kind of one of those games where, you know, I think for both schools, this is, you know, always been one you had circle on the schedule. But it's also nice that everybody's trending upward at this point because you want to be meeting teams when you're kind of playing your best and you want to be, you know, when things are clicking. So I think, you know, both teams have definitely kind of improved in the season's gone on. So I think this is just a real kind of, you know, standout game from the standpoint of this is just, you know, two teams coming in riding high at this point. And that's kind of what you want to see when you have a game of the, you know, of this import, and where you want to see both teams kind of playing their best. Seems like both teams are healthy. Seems like there's going to be nothing, you know, weather-wise that might be weird that might affect things. So it just seems like everything's kind of coming to the head from a standpoint of just this being kind of the showcase that this kind of a game deserves.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, yeah, for, I guess, both teams, it's kind of the best you could ask for because Helias has really been able to kind of right the ship after the early season loss to Hannibal.
Sure.
And their offense has... I mean, they've had a couple of turnovers at times, but they've been consistent with the way their defense has played. They've done more than enough.
Right, exactly.
I mean, their defense has been impressive, and that will be a big test for Jefferson City because their offense has kind of ran without a whole lot of opposition. I mean, Capital City was able to kind of get some plays and play some good drives defensively, but that's been the only real resistance that they've faced over these last 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah, you look at it, and you throw out that 54-20 loss to Hannibal in the season opener, and... Ever since then, the Helias defense has allowed 6, 22, 0, 13, and 0. So I guess the point is it's kind of the, you know, irresistible force and the immovable object sort of thing from the standpoint of, you know, Jays are coming off 66 and Helias is coming off of giving up 0. So I mean, just how fun is this going to be? Just kind of go, okay, let's see, you know, which one's actually, you know, operating better right now. Is it the Jays offense or is it the Hawks defense? Because both of them look like they're doing awesome right now.
Yeah, and I mean, for that run defense, you know, or for the run defense of Hawaii, I think it's kind of a good test with the Jays offensive line that with Brody Smith coming back, they've been able to have some more size. I mean, I know the Jays still have some kind of smaller players like Jackson Figo have been able to do well at kind of guard and tackle spots and be able to move in space and make blocks well. But so it'll kind of just be a big test for them. I mean, the last time the Jays really played a really kind of physical, I mean, this will be the most physical and big defense they've played probably since they played Chaminade in week one. I mean, there are some, I mean, Hannibal and Rockbridge had players who are individually good defenders. I mean, Rockbridge had Gerald Nathan. Hannibal had a bunch of guys who were able to play well at the line of scrimmage. But,
sure.
I mean, you know, overall, this is probably the most talented unit they've played since then. So that'll kind of just be a big test just to see where this offensive line is at. This will be a good litmus test for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's I think, going to be, I mean, I just, we always kind of knew this would be a fun game. I just feel like everything's just kind of pointing for this one, where it's just like, if you don't have anything better to do on Friday night, make sure you're, you know, over at Henschel Stadium, because that's just going to be, I mean, it just seems like it's going to, everything's kind of peaking from the standpoint of this just seems like it should be a very, very fun one. So, I guess we've gotten to the point where we just get to the prediction point of it now, and it's just like, you know, how do you see this one playing out? I think I'm more interested not only in hearing maybe the prediction, but also just the points in the prediction, because I think that's, to me, what's going to be the kind of interesting thing to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I think with kind of the youth that the Jays have on defense, they're going to kind of need and want the game between the 40s to have a chance. I think it'll be a little lower scoring than that. I think Clias is going to win 35-31 would be my prediction, but I think the biggest thing, though, if you're a Jays fan, even if Jefferson City doesn't win, just having this game competitive is a really good kind of step up for this program. And, I mean, especially if the defense is able to kind of play similar to even they did last week and give up 30 or some points, that's not a very bad result for a team that struggled earlier in the season and, you know, was kind of trending upward. And so I think that if you're a Jays fan, a loss is frustrating, especially when you're losing to another team in the area and kind of a local rivalry that's kind of just starting. But I think it'll still be a step in the right direction for the program.
Absolutely. All right, that should do it for this week. For Anderson Kimball, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.